the Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo, and I am the proprietor, if you will, of the Paisley Penny Arcade, in which we are. So how are you? Welcome. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing fine, okay. You're perky and happy and, all that and above. Whew. What a world! What a world! Can you believe what's going on? My Canadian listeners, I bet you're glad you're living in Canada right now. I'll bet you are. Yeah. And thank you, by the way, Louise. How kind of you to write. I can't quite figure out, every time I try and write you back, I get these weird messages that say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, and so, but thank you so much. You gave me a lot to think about. Very kind. Remember, folks, you can write me. You can write me. You can write me at Motaro, that's M-O-T-A-R-O-T, Mo, M-O, the word Taro after it, and at Comcast.net. Now, Comcast likes to filter everything I get because they're so protective or something. But do write me if you'd like. And if I don't get it, well, you know, you tried. But I usually, I get some things and I don't get others. But if I'm able to write you back, I certainly will. And if I don't write, I will talk to you on air. So, and if you don't want me to write to you or talk to you, if you don't want me to talk about you, make sure you tell me that, because I have a big mouth, as everyone who listens to this show knows. So, God, how you been? What's been on your mind? I bet there's been a lot on your mind. There's been a lot on my mind, that's for sure. One is what's going on around? There's been a lot going on around, actually, I believe. Some things worth talking about, some things, you know, maybe not so much. Some things, I'm messing around with my microphone. If I sound like I'm talking very closely, it's because I am. I'm talking very, very closely, talking so much. So I'm just kidding. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, So what is going on? Well, it seems there's a lot going on. Doesn't it seem that way to you? It does to me. I mean, right now, there are armed people in the streets of Los Angeles, Marines and National Guard and protesters. First Amendment right to protest. And we've been told that protesters will be arrested this weekend. And yes, I'm still messing with my microphone. I'm just experimenting with someone. Mwahaha, this experiment is mine. It's all mine. But I'm kind of worried about things. I'm an optimistic guy, but things are getting kind of out of hand here. We have rights in this country, and we have the right of protest. And there are all sorts of protests planned for this weekend on Flag Day, on the 250th anniversary of the Army and the Armed Forces. And $45 million are being spent on a narcissistic parade because I don't believe it's really for the Army. And yes, I'm being political right now, and maybe some people don't like it, but I've got to kind of talk about it because it's really at the forefront of my brain right now. $45 million that could go to feed people, that could go to house people, that could go to make people healthy. I think that would be nice. It would be nice to take care of people rather than to, self-aggrandize oneself. It's been one of those things that has been rather annoying to me. And this is where we are. And this is what happens when I think we have the situation we're in. Now, I know that there are probably maybe some people who are fond of the fellow in charge. And God bless you if you are. And I don't mean to step on your politics or your step on your opinions. But I'll be hornswoggled if I can see the benefit of any of this, other than perhaps we're going to wave so long to our democracy, which I think is a pretty darn good thing. I love this country. I've loved this country my entire life. Flag Day coming up on Saturday. And let me tell you a story about the flag. I was in Egypt in 1973 with my parents and my siblings. And I'd been there when I was 7. And we were there in 1973. We decided to go. My father hadn't seen his mother in years, quite a while, 21 years, as a matter of fact. And she was getting along in age. And we decided, my parents, I didn't have any money, I had to cut my hair. Oh, my God, I had to shave my beard off. And I was able to leave the mustache. But so off we went, vavoom, and landed in Egypt. And there I was, and there we were. And we were there for 3 weeks. And we spent the first week and a half in Cairo, or a week, or I don't remember what it was. And we got on the train to go from Cairo to Alexandria. And we were in the Cairo train station, and we were just about to get on the train to go to Alexandria. And I guess we'd been to Alexandria. We were coming back to Cairo, and there was a kid, blonde-headed kid with a leather jacket, and on the back was an American flag. And we all got choked up. All of us did. Because we hadn't seen an American flag in going on 2 weeks. And there it was. And he was an American traveling in Egypt. And back then it was cool. You could do things like that. There were no real problems. It wasn't the type of world that it is now, where it was a dangerous thing to do. And I looked at that and I thought, my God, I don't think I'd realized just how much I love this country and how much I felt for it. And I said, Dad, look at that. He said, yeah, I know. He said, that's why we live there. And we got back to the United States and we missed our flight. It wasn't our fault. It was the airline's flight. So they put us up at the Hilton. And we landed at JFK, and we drove in, and here was this big American flag. And it just got us. Just absolutely, it was so good to be back home, because this country represents certain things. Now, let me explain something to you. When I decided that I could be a metaphysician, that I could be a tarot card reader and an astrologer and a palmist, and that I could do the things that I do for a living, I realized that, yeah, it wasn't going to be easy because our society doesn't necessarily hold those things dear and sacred. And that, I mentioned one of the guys in my wedding party, I was looking at an old photograph of my groomsmen and kind of going, wow, you know, because it's like these guys who were in that wedding party, not all of them were, would turn out to have been the best friends of my life. Let me put it that way. But at the time, they are. You know, at the time, you're like, these guys are my closest and dearest, you know, they're my friends. And one of them was actually, one was a nuclear physicist, and one was an astrophysicist, and one was kind of a bum, and, you know, because I was kind of a, I was whatever I was, and one was a lighting designer, and that's what he did for a career for the rest of his life, and, I mean, really an eclectic group, all very interesting guys, all, I thought, pretty wonderful guys, and in my own way, I still do, but the astrophysicist, he disavowed me completely, said, I can't associate with you ever again anymore, for the simple reason that well, because I was an astrologer and he was an astrophysicist, and it would have looked bad for him to. And I thought, who's going to know that I talked to him on Facebook, or that I'm his friend, or that we talked by the phone? Nope, none of that. So you realize that even though we are this progressive country, still our society has those little things going on. But I said, I don't care, because I'm going to do this. I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to help people. You know, it's not like I'm some con artist or something, because there are people in this community, there are people in my profession, in our profession, who have horribly ripped people off, taken their life savings before. I've spoken to those people. I've dealt with those people who have just handed over $20, $30, $40, $100, $200, $500,000 to some con artist who has bilked them out of every penny they have to remove a curse, to do this, to do that. It's like, oh my God, call the Bunko Squad. Call your cops, you know, and get them in. Oh no, they said if I did that, the hex would be even worse. And so you realize that if you're honest and do this, that you are doing something that even though society may frown upon you, may frown upon what you're doing, and there are people who may believe it, but they consider that you're bad. And I said, you know what, I don't care, but in this country, it's protected. It's protected, and I can do it. And I thought to myself years and years and years ago, that's the country that I'm living in, and I'm proud to be a member of this country, and I'm proud to be a part of it. And now all of that is it's no longer sacrosanct. It's no longer a sure thing, and I think we should all be kind of wary of this going on. Not kind of. Now, I still have faith that it's going to work out, but suddenly there's military everywhere. And I don't know how far this is going to go. You know, this is the type of thing that we've all said, well, can't happen, can't really happen, shouldn't happen. You know, but I think that we have to be aware. And we have to be just conscious, because, you know, they're eventually, I think they could come after the tarot readers and the astrologers, because we never, the few will survive, the ones who talk to those people in charge, you know, like Nancy Reagan had an astrologer, and, you know, other people have had their counselors. I certainly have advised very conservative people in the past, you know, and talk to them. But that's not the point. The point is that these are very strange times. So, yeah, I'm keyed up. I'm wound up. I've lived a good long life. I hope to live longer. But the point is that we have to kind of stick together here and be aware of the truth of what's going on. And what's going on is not normal. This is not a normal situation. And there is a very strange dynamic here. And there are people who are pretty keyed up about it, and I'm one of them. And I'm just saying, you know, that we have to be on the alert. And not take anything for granted anymore. July 4th is in a few weeks. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Tonight is full moon. Full moon's going to rise because it's called Strawberry Moon. And I love full moons. I was born on a full moon. So for me, it's kind of special. Yeah, I'll let it go. I'm sorry. But I'm doing what's on my spontaneous today. Talking about whatever comes. Because there's a lot happening. There's a lot happening. You know, and if you watch the press, they're making it look like all of Los Angeles is engulfed in war. And it's not. It's just a few square blocks where this is happening. In a city of, what, 3.8 million people. Thunder. I don't know if you heard that. Little punctuation mark there. There's some things that are very precious in life. Very precious. Very precious to me. That's for sure. That's for sure. I don't know if you heard, but Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, he passed today, or at least was announced today. He was 82 years old. And it just so happens that Brian Wilson was responsible for a lot of happiness in my life. The Beach Boys, I saw the Beach Boys in the 70s, and at a concert. Wow. There's a nice big, I don't know if you heard that. Yeah, it's how I'm feeling. And when I was a kid, when the Beach Boys came into play, I recognized it as something so different. And so incredible. I loved California as a kid. The first time we went was in 1959. Went to Disneyland, met Walt Disney. Sat next to him on a park bench. And asked him if I could call him Grandpa. Because I didn't have any family here. Just my mom and dad. That was enough, you know. But asked him if I could call him Grandpa. Because we watched the television show, Disneyland, I think it was called. And he looked at my parents and they, you know, like, can he call me Grandpa? And he was okay with him. And they said, sure. So I did for that little bit of time. And he used to go to Disneyland a lot, I guess. And it was something. It was cool. He was a sweet, sweet guy, at least when I met him. I know there are things now, but that's not the man I met. I mean, I met, you know, Walt Disney. And Disneyland was very simple back then. It's gotten very complicated, as has the Empire. It was a different world back then, but I loved California. I loved the beach. I had to complicate things by scratching my cornea. I had got to wear a patch for a while. You know, put a pirate's patch on it. 5 years old. Yeah, 5. But then the beach sound came out, and I immediately identified with that for some reason, as did probably most everyone in the country, and it just caught fire. Just absolutely caught fire. And that changed everything. I think it really helped. They had beach blanket bingo movies that came out, the beach blanket movies, and the whole car thing caught on. I don't know if you remember Rat Fink. Some of you are certainly not old enough to remember this. I don't know who listens to me. Honestly, I don't. But bless you for doing so, you know. But it was quite a craze. And it was a fun time. And it was about the joy of being young. That's what it did, is it was about being young. We were young and we were having a great time. And the music was really fun. It was all about, you know, and Brian Wilson didn't surf. He was into cars, though, and it was a sound that none of us had ever heard before, but boy, was it fun. And he was responsible for that endless summer sound, which I've listened to for 60 years. 60-some years. So thank you, Brian Wilson, wherever you are. And I know the whole world is thanking you. I don't know if the beach sound caught on all over the world, but it sure did with me. And there you are. So that happened. So there's a lot going on. I don't know if you use the I Ching. I used the I Ching last night. Had a question. And it's a fascinating oracle, because you can use anything to consult it and be assured of getting the proper answer that you need. And I mean, you can use a computer, because there are numerous ways to do so online. You can use coins, you can use the Yarrow stocks. I had a question that hit me in a moment. It was just like, oh my God, I've got a question. And I wasn't near my coins or near my Arrow stocks or anything else. So I just went to a site and, you know, they say, type in your question. Well, I'm thinking, I don't need to type in a question. I've got it in my head. So I just tapped the button and boom, boom, boom. And there it was. Now, if you're in a hurry and you don't know of a site, there's a thing called Clarity. I just put in the word Clarity and then I Ching, and it took me, there are about three or four different ones. You don't have to pay for it. They're just algorithms, but as I say, there's a ghost in the machine, you know, and I found them to be incredibly accurate, incredibly accurate. And what you do is that you just ask your question. I do it in my head. And you get your hexagrams and moving lines, because they're going to force moving lines on you, which is fine. And it answered my question, and it gave me the information I needed and a mode of action, which was, don't do it. So I'm not going to do it. And that's the thing about oracles. I don't know if you've dealt with many oracles, but when you ask an oracle a question, chances are that you may or may not like the answer. You're either going to like it or you're not. But I pay attention. Not everybody does. Not everybody does. And I think that that's one of the most important aspects of oracle work. If you're going to ask an oracle question, it's important to pay attention and follow the advice. I can't begin to tell you how many people I would read for who would not listen to me. And I'd think, well, what'd you come for? You know, why did you come see me? Why did you, you know, pay good money for a reading when you had no intention of following the advice? But they did anyway. And it always used to, you know, confuse me, as well as kind of annoy me later when they would blame me for sometimes some things happening. I've had more than one client, this is an interesting thing too, more than one client accuse me of making things happen by my predictions, when things would go the way I said they would. And it's like, no, I didn't make anything happen. I don't have that type of power. If I did, trust me, my life might be a little bit different. It's just that that's oracles. If you're tapped into them in a proper way, and anyone can do readings if they have the diligence it takes to do it. It just takes work. It's just like anything else. You know, anyone can, you know, there's such thing as natural talent, but the fact is, anyone can learn to throw darts properly. Anyone can throw to bowl well or to shoot pool. It just takes, or to cook well. It just takes practice, and it takes attention to detail and whatever. You know, I've got my cards here. I think I was going to ask a question about how things are going to turn out. Not to my satisfaction. Okay, but not great. Well, what's that mean? I'm just... Okay, this weekend, because it's on my mind, folks. How are things going to happen? Is it going to be as bad as it could be? And I have a scenario in mind. I say, well, that's interesting. There are rabble-rousers in that crowd, people who are there to make trouble. Yeah, and there are also people there to try and calm it down. So I'm real worried about that. Okay, back to it. Back to oracles. So it's funny talking about oracles with an oracle in my hand. I know that. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Is that oracles are, they're like a conversation. When you're working with an oracle, the key is to understand that it is a conversation. You're having a conversation with the universe. You're having a conversation with a universal power that has the desire, if you want to listen, to inform you of what's going on out there. Now, you have the opportunity to completely circumvent the truth, and that's up to you. You can fool yourself into thinking whatever you want to think, and I've done that before. I think we've all done that. You've been in situations where you've misread the truth or you've completely overlooked the reality of a situation. I think any and all of us have done that. It's easy to do. It's not beneficial to do. It's like fake news, right? You accept something just because it's convenient and it makes you feel good to do so. But there's no way on earth that it's something that you should do. You should do, I think. God, I am really wound up today. Sorry about that, folks. I should be more professional when I come to this microphone. But it's just, there's a lot right now, there's a lot of electricity in the air where I am, and that always affects me. But there's a lot happening. There's a lot at stake here. A lot of people's lives are at stake. And I mean their livelihoods. I mean just their way of living. And I know. I get it. I do understand what's at stake. I do understand the whole concept. And I know this is supposed to be about something else. But is it really? Is it really? Isn't it about everything? As above, so below. As above, so below. When do we give up? When do we turn our backs on what's really important? When do we just say, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to let it be. You know, when do we just completely give away our responsibilities to somebody else? A lot of times, that's what happens. A lot of times. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I've been really preoccupied. I've been doing a lot of drawing, working on some cards. I'm not even sure what I'm going to do with all this stuff. But if the juices are flowing, might as well put them down, right? Put them down. Maybe I'll do some writing. It's strange. Strange when you get these things kind of plugged in and the energy is just absolutely a buzz and you don't quite know exactly what to do with it. Creativity is a strange thing. I believe in going wherever it leads you, though. That's kind of a fantastic... it's a sort of a power, you know. I'm not like Tesla, who certainly I'm not like Tesla. He was a genius beyond genius, you know. But he invented so many things. He knew what to do with that energy of his. I've never really known what to do with it. I love to learn. I love to experiment with things. But I've learned so much. I've liked to learn so much. And I've forgotten more than I've ever learned. But this is kind of a frantic time, energetically speaking, I think. Maybe that's what we're seeing, is this frantic energy, this chaotic energy, and maybe that's what I'm picking up on, is this sort of frenetic, sort of, angsty sort of energy, sorry. I don't know. Kind of weird. I get into these moods sometimes where it's hard to pin myself down and say, because I'm feeling all these electrical, I don't know how to put it. Like there's something big coming. Do you ever feel that way? It's like a big psychic drift. Like a big psychic tsunami. I can almost sense it, but I'm not quite sure where to put it. Now, I don't think it's something bad, at least I hope not, but I can sure feel something's on the way, and hopefully it'll just pass. It'll just be a little fluff that goes by. But something feels like it's kind of headed our way. So, hopefully I'm wrong. I don't know. But my head is just filled with imagery. Symbolism sometimes. Do any of you do any shamanic work? Shamanic work is interesting because it can really take you somewhere. You can end up meeting people, some of them historic. I don't know if they're real or not. I don't even question that. I don't even worry about that. I just take it. Aleister Crowley said, question later, experience now. And I've learned that's an excellent sort of bit of advice. On one such journey, I met Benjamin Franklin. Had a lovely discussion with him. We were wearing togas. They were his choice. I said, why are we wearing togas? He said, because they're so very comfortable. There are no cinches. There's no pinching. He said, they're just very comfortable. Don't you find them comfortable? I said, well, it is comfortable, but you have to hold your arm up all the time. He said, yes, that means that you're going to pay attention to everything. I thought, well, that's very logical. They're weird. Going on these sort of journeys. Here, well, let's talk about that for a while. Maybe it's something you'd like to do. There is really nothing too risky about it if you do it properly. I use a flute, usually, to get into them. What I'll do is I'll play a flute. And I don't usually play a particular melody. I'll just start playing. And I play these rim-blown flutes, usually my Anasazi flute. Here I have one known as a kawala, which I made myself out of PVC. And it sounds something like this. I haven't played it in a while, but that's not good, but you know, so on and so forth. And I just play. I just play until I kind of I don't lose consciousness, that's the wrong thing to say, but I play. And then you just kind of find yourself drifting. And almost always, a vision comes. It doesn't have to be like, it's not like you're tripping or anything like that, but you generally will see something or experience something that's very real. You may meet someone, you may hear something, and it doesn't always make sense right away, But eventually, it's going to make a great deal of sense. I've always found that to be true. Now, here's my advice. You're going to be relaxed. Always have some water nearby, because invariably I'm always thirsty afterwards. And always keep a pad and something to write with nearby as well, because you're going to want to write it down after you kind of come back. And you're not going to be gone for a long time. Generally, what happens is you're going to see it. You're going to experience the Ben Franklin thing. Boy, we were walking down this beautiful lane. Oh my God. And there were trees on either side shading it. I have to believe it was in France. I asked him where it was. He said, I don't know. You know, it was kind of cool. It was very pleasant. It was remarkable. Do I know if it was Franklin? No, I don't know if it was really him or not. And why would I question such a thing? Now, here, last week I was talking about my belief systems and this and that. And you see, I don't know. I don't know. I love the concept of not knowing. I love the concept of being kind of, in the dark about things. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me not to know. As a matter of fact, that's kind of the best part of it. But we had a lovely discussion about things, including what's going on in government right now. I won't get into it because it's kind of lengthy. But it was a really fine discussion. He's plenty worried, by the way, at least the Dr. Franklin I met. Yes, we did have a nice discussion. But the idea in this journeying is that you are actually going somewhere. Part of you is going somewhere. Now, the ancient Egyptians believed in this as well. They had several different parts of the soul, of the entity, and one of them was known as the Ba. The Ba was what I would call our personality. It's us, what we are. There was the Ka as well. The Ka was life force energy. Now, the human Ka, they thought that after we die, after we perish, that the Ka seeks to maintain itself and needs to eat. And that's why the ancient Egyptians put pictures of food on tomb walls. Now, it doesn't. They resorted to that only after the offerings stopped coming after death. So what they would do is in ancient Egypt, there would be offerings made at the false doors outside of a tomb. And those false doors, they would put food. They would put food and incense and that sort of thing. And that food would be devoured by the Ka. The smell of the food would be devoured by the Ka. And once that food stopped going there, then they would have to feed off of the food on the tomb wall, because those drawings would come alive. Now, it was a big deal, that concept of life after life. Oh, I like that so much better. I like that so much better, life after life. Now, that is inspiring to me. That is much more hopeful, life after life. Mm-hmm. I'll go with that. So, consequently, the Ka, being life force energy, is incredibly powerful. And I think is analogous to Sigmund Freud's id. Because it's powerful, it's strong, it is, and it can be pretty dynamically mean. It's down there. Now, the Ka and the Ba can play, you know, games in that afterlife life scenario. The Ba being the personality, the Ka being the life force energy. It is the self-defense mechanism. It is the will to live mechanism. It is the, well, I think you get it, don't you? And there are other parts too, the luminous egg, if you will, the shadow, all sorts of things. But so in this case, we're talking about the personality. And that personality really does need to survive. At least it wants to survive. But once it kind of loses that edge of survival, which it can do once it really leaves the body, and that's why they mummified, was to have that body be present, and that's why they had pictures on the wall and all that. Now, today, in our society, if there's any truth to their cosmology, if there's any truth to their beliefs, then with all the photographs we have, all of us ought to live pretty much forever. Unless we no longer print photographs and they're all electronically out there, but the electronics fail, then we'll all perish eventually. But anyway, so very complicated stuff, the head, and very, I think, very advanced, extremely advanced thoughts on all these things. But back to the ideas of that idea of the ka and the ba, but the ba is the personality. So what makes you you and you me, or me you, and oh, forget it, what makes us is that ba. And I think that is what the shamanic journey is. Now, you've heard about soul retrieval. And I don't know what the Western idea, current Western idea of soul retrieval is. I know it became a very big moneymaker for a lot of people a few years ago. But in the old sense of what soul retrieval became, and for the Pacific Northwesterners, they had soul catchers, which were these gizmos made out of bones, made out of grizzly bear bones, leg bones. And these were dynamic little gadgets. If you've never seen one, look it up online, Soul Catcher. Look up First Nation Soul Catcher or Tsimshian, Tsimshian, or Haida, Haida. And they're creepy looking, I think, but they're beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous. I have a soul catcher ring that I wear for reasons that I'll not get into today. But I bet now that our pup is over a year old, I can start wearing it again. Couldn't wear any jewelry for a long time because chew, that sort of thing. But I think she's better now. Well, she is better. She's so wonderful. She's lovely. But they would go, people who had problems, people who had what we would call mental illness, some said that they had lost their souls, sometimes kidnapped, sometimes snatched in the middle of the night, sometimes in sleep. And so these shaman, these healers, would go and retrieve their souls with these soul catchers. Wow, man. It's wonderful stuff when you get into it. And hear the stories, these tales of how these shaman found these souls cowering somewhere, you know, hidden amongst rocks. Or hiding in a forest amongst wolves or crows, something like that. And they would take these soul catchers and suck them back in, you know. And oh my God, just wonderful stories. And then bring them back and blow them back in into their mouths. Change lives. And no matter what it is, no matter whether it be absolutely truthful or not, does it matter if it worked? You know, we're taking a giant step backwards in many ways to a different sort of world in this country right now, which, who knows, maybe I'm thick-headed as hell. Maybe it'll be for the best. I doubt it, but maybe it will be. Who knows? Who knows? It's been a crazy year for me. So what happens when you, and I do blow those other whistles, those other flutes better than what you just heard. I can guarantee you that. Not that, it's pride. I'm sorry. But it's just I haven't played that one very much. Mr. Excuse here. But that's, yeah. What can I say? But the point is you can do this. And it shouldn't cause any major, you know, hiccup in your psyche. But what happens is when you do go, because we are naturally born with defenses, and that's the truth. We're naturally born with defenses that keep us from snapping the cord, so to speak, that keep us from making too big a mistake. And so what you find is sudden consciousness. Snap. Suddenly. Somewhere else. You know? And in that moment, all you do is you experience something that you, it might just be, okay, I'm just somewhere else. I guess you pay attention. I guess I'm here and I pay attention. And you see whatever you see and you experience whatever you experience and you just write it down as soon as you get back. Because it does, it's like a dream. Dreams erase themselves sometimes, almost immediately after you wake up. Now, some dreams stick with you forever, but most dreams have a habit of erasing themselves pretty quickly. So you're kind of in a, I guess I would call it a trance, you know. Now, there are ways to induce these things that are really complicated, like dancing and so on and so forth. I do it with the flute. You might do it with a, you know, if you have a recorder, not the thing that you record your voice, but the flute type thing. Whatever it is, you know, you might meditate, you might chant, you might sing, you might yodel, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you might focus on a painting or a thangka. You might use the tattvas. The tattvas are T-A-T-T-W-A-S. Look it up. All they are geometric figures. You might use tarot cards. As a matter of fact, that's a great way to do it, if you've got the right deck to do it with. As a matter of fact, again, I'll say that, I used to talk about that in my tarot classes constantly, urging people within the class to meditate on every tarot card at least once, and at least once on the card, and then to, if they got the gumption, to do it upside down at least once. And I would have students who would do it twice, two or three times at least, and just concentrate on it and learn about that way. Because what you do is, the theory is that every tarot card has its own realm, has its own universe behind it, and that you get to travel there. You get to go through that card. I'll tell you what to do. And here's the method you do it. You put the card up, and you put a light on it, and you just look at that card under that light, and it's bright, brightish. You don't want to burn your eyeballs or anything, and you just stare at that card for a while. And I've done this with all the cards, you know, with the Crowley deck. And then eventually it's in your head, so you don't have to do that. I did it with my deck, too. And it, since I created it, it's like going inward to yourself. It's kind of weird. Trust me, that's pretty twisted. But you look at the card, and you see it in your mind's eye, but you stare at it for a good minute, 1 to 2 minutes, no more than that. You don't need any more than that. And then when it's really firmly in your mind, you close your eyes. And you walk into it, because you're going to see it in your mind's eye. Very, very, sometimes you'll see it in the reversed image. And there are some metaphysical schools that want that. They want you to see that reversed image and the reverse colors and all that. But what you do at that point is you just walk into the card. Just in your mind's eye. It's all imagination. You walk into the card. And after you've done that, you just keep walking in your imagination. Imagination is very, very powerful. Once you've been there in your imagination, you just keep going. And you can begin talking to whoever you see there. You talk to them, and you experience with them. That's all there is to it. Trust me. You will begin to learn things that you never thought you could learn. That's how I learned a lot of the stuff I know. And it turned out to be right. You know, and you learn things and you see things, and if you were to tell people that this is what I did, they would say to you, you're nuts. It would absolutely, and you're going to start having very vivid dreams as well. Some of them, quite bizarre, but truthful. You will begin receiving knowledge that you can prove. Knowledge that you had absolutely no way of knowing. And I mean zero, zilch, zippo. You had no way of knowing, but you will be able to prove is accurate. And it will be in the way of one of these little trips, and you will receive a little blurb of information, and it will be so right on that you will be stunned, and I mean completely stunned. But then, you will know that you have had an authentic experience. I have had hundreds of these experiences where you suddenly go, oh my God, you know, because you've gone there and you were given a piece of information. This is something I think any of us can do and we should aspire to. I used to do it when I was a kid. I just didn't know I was doing it. Man, I saw a ghost when I was 6 or 7 years old. I was right around, it was Easter, so I was 6. It was before my birthday. So it was in that area between our realm and its, his. And it was the most terrified I think I've ever been in my life. No, the most terrified was in that bedroom I had in the middle of the night when I could feel that malicious energy, not his, I think his mother-in-law's, who didn't like little boys, really hated me. And I would be just laying in my bed or sitting up in my bed waiting for her to come and get me. That was rough stuff. But it had a fine function because it pretty much cured me of fear. Once you've slept in a house like that for months and months and months and months and months with that feeling, you know, and you're steeped in that, it takes care of a lot. Got off track. But the nice thing about these projections, these little trips you go on, is that you won't ever lose sight that that's what you're doing. And that's very important. So it's not like you're high and you're not going to, I don't know where. You always know exactly what you're up to. And it does help you a great deal. I think that's good. Yeah, I think that's enough. And I don't know if I've led you astray. I don't think so. I think that's pretty good and relatively informative and pretty safe. Don't you? I do. Strange. Like I said, I'm feeling kind of weird today. Maybe it's all the electricity in the air. Maybe it's the fact that there's an attempted military takeover of the country going on. I don't know. Maybe that's not what's happening, but it sure looks like it. I hope not. I hope I'm just overstating things. I do that. But my generation, well, that's kind of our thing, you know. We were what we were, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean. We were what we were. We were protesters. And in 1968, people older than I was were in Chicago were beaten senseless by the Chicago PD for protesting. That wasn't right. And what's happening in L.A. is not right. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of that. See, that's where my head is. All right, I'll be back to normal, whatever that means, next week. Until then, be safe. Will you please be safe? This Saturday is the King, No King rallies. Be safe. Be aware. Be really, really aware. Be aware. Keep your wits about you. Know that the game is not being played fairly. Okay? Peace and love, my friends. Peace and love. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.